Today's Shir is Masechta Baba Metzia, Daf Ayin Aleph. We will begin the Ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Ayin Aleph Amar Aleph. 12 lines from the top says the Gemara Tanya Amar Rabbi Yossi, Bara A Samish Ayin Shamal V'Zeribis. A person, says the Gemara, who borrows money with interest, involves Samish Ayin, involves actually being blind. He's not recognizing what he is doing. Adam Kairal Chaver Rosha. If somebody calls somebody else a Rosha, Yoyre Imer L'chayiv. What typically happens if somebody calls somebody by that derogatory term, Yoyre Imer L'chayiv, they're going to get into a bitter battle. Is be ready to know to who knows what to do to the person that dared call him with such a title. Mevim v'heim, and if we think about it, it was a moment. V'heim, and when we speak about a person who lends money on ribbis, mevim edim, they bring witnesses, v'lavlover, and a cipher, the klumus, a pen, or dryoy, and ink, the chaisman, and they write, the chaisman, and then they sign. Shaploni zeb, when you sign a document that involves ribbis, what you're doing is kofa b'alakei Yisrael, you're denying HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why? Because in the parasha of ribbis, the pasuk says, v'yureisa melakecha, somebody who voids ribbis shows that he has yirish shemayim, and this person, explains the Meiri, ignores HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ignores HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and just does what he thinks is going to be good for him. That, and the Maral explains that the Isser of Ribbis is stricter on anything else. Why is it stricter than anything else? So Maral explains because a person who lends money on Ribbis thinks that that's the way I'm going to make parnosa, that's the way I'm going to have income. And what he's essentially saying is that he doesn't believe that parnosa comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why it represents a terrible lack of Yirish Shemayim. Another pshat that I saw is that the person who is involved in a transaction that has a ribbis element to it, what does he do? What he does is he tries to say, well, it wasn't my money. We're going to speak about this later in our shir. It's really money that belongs to a goy, to a non-Jew, that I'm allowed to lend ribbis. The one that knows the truth, whose money this is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And by doing this, what you're saying is that you don't believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu really knows what's going on. The Tosfos, the very Maskil Adam, says that, quotes a Tshuvas HaGoyim in the name of Rav Tzadok Goyim, that Yored Imay L'chayev, that he allowed to burn a third of his grain. And Tosfos says, yes, if somebody does something bad to you, he deserves to be punished. But where does this number that Rav Tzadok Goyim comes up with of a third, as Tosfos, where does it come from? So I saw that somebody says that he once had a dream that Besdin was sitting in session, a Besdin of 23 members that we're going to speak about in Masechet Sanhedrin, the Sanhedrin Katan, was sitting in session, and they brought somebody to the Besdin that because he had done something very terrible, he had spoken derogatorily about a tzaddik from a previous generation. And they punished him that he should be put into cherem. And they also said that the person who he had spoken about should come back to this world, and that ultimately they will marry, that these families will intermarry, and his son will marry a daughter of this person, and he'll suffer from his father-in-law. So he said If you call somebody else a Rasha, what you cause is Yair Imoy, that neshama comes down to the world. Another pshat, but that doesn't answer what Tosfos quoted Rav Tzadok Gaon about the third. So I saw from the Sefer Teres Yeshua that we know that the Gemara says that Shloisha Shutfim Ba'adam, the three partners in every person, Aviv, V'imoy, V'Kadosh Baruch Hu. So when you call somebody a Rasha, what you're doing is that you're saying that the part that HaKadosh Baruch Hu contributed to the person is not good. So the third of, therefore a third should be destroyed. Another pshat that I saw, that the Chazon Ish explained why, as we just finished learning, is ribis involved, has carry with it such a serious connotation, Kaifer Balakei Yisrael. So he says that the Gemara that teaches us that Masechta Rosh Hashanah, that Kabbalah on Isof Shel Adam, all of a person's income, Kintsuvim Laim Rosh Hashanah, is predetermined on Rosh Hashanah. But this person who lends money on Ribbis doesn't believe that. He thinks that he can't rely that a Kadosh Baruch Hu will provide him with Pemasa. That is the greatest kfira. A person who is announcing that I don't believe that that Panosa comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I have to do things on my own, Kilo Kafar Belakei Yisrael, that is showing a tremendous act of kfira. Because what you're showing is that you don't believe in the Hashgacha Pratis of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Tanya Rav Shimon ben Elazar Oimer. Kamei Sheish Lemaz. If somebody has money, Umalva Isam, Shalai B'Ribis, and he's careful not to lend them with Ribis, Olav HaKadosh Oimer, Kaspay Loi Nasam B'Neshach, V'Shoychar Al Noki Loi Lokach, Oise Eila Loi Yimait Loilam. Whoever is careful, being honest, and of course doesn't take Ribis, such a person will never have a financial downfall. Halamarata, from here we learn the kala malva beribis, that if somebody does lend money in ribis rachman slan, the chasav mismaitatim, he's going to suffer that he's going to lose his money. The Sefer Panin Yafis says that the pasuk says neshach kesef neshach oichel. If somebody does neshach kesef, if somebody takes neshach for his money, then neshach oichel, ultimately oichel, he won't chas v'shalom have what to eat. I saw, again, to this Gemara that says that the tshuvas hagoinim that says that somebody who takes ribis will have to take away a third of his panasa. Where does that come from? So I saw that the Pasuk says in Mishlei, Tzadik oichel soiva nafshoi, ubetim rishoyim tachser. A tzadik who doesn't get upset, who doesn't get angry, is always full. Because if somebody gets angry, the Gemara says he has to leave a third open, because the anger, if he's full and then he gets angry, it could be very dangerous. So a person who doesn't get angry and a person who accepts the gzeir of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he could satiate himself. A Rasha who doesn't believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu and that will cause him to get angry, that person has to leave over a third that he should not suffer because he can't eat his full satiation. That, and the Maram Shif explains the Pasuk, that the Pasuk is not coming to teach us that you shouldn't lend money. What the Pasuk is teaching us that a person who has money and he has the ability to lend that money on interest and say that I can make money that way, the Torah is telling us what you should always try to do is if you have an opportunity to lend money to somebody without ribbis, that's what you're supposed to do. Why does the person who, the Tepuchei Chaim explained, who lends money ribbis become poor? So the Tepuchei Chaim says that the Chazal teach us the mi shiyeshloi. If somebody who Baruch Hashem has parnasa v'loikeach and it takes staka, ene meis menazikna, he doesn't pass away achi starach lezeh, until he ultimately will really need staka. So says the Tepuchei Chaim, the person here who is lending money on ribbis, what is he saying? I don't have panasa, and I have no other way of making income only with lending money on ribbis. But of course, that's not true. He does have Baruch Hashem panasa. He's just using this as an excuse. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, if you're going to use this as an excuse, not to, you're going to try to use an excuse not to to take ribbis because you don't have money, what's going to happen ultimately is nechasav mismaitatim, you indeed won't have money. You're going to have to rely on, you're going to have to indeed become poor and rely truly on staka. Ask the Gemara, v'kachzina d'loy maisi b'ribbis v'kam mismaitatim. We see that people who don't lend money on ribbis and unfortunately lose their money, answers the Gemara, Amr Rabbi Elazar, there's a difference. Halalu mismaitatin va'olam. People who lend money on ribbis, that people that don't lend money on ribbis may sometimes lose their money va'olam, but they'll have a comeback. Halalu, the people who lend money on ribbis mismaitatin va'olam olam. They never get a chance to have a comeback. So Mefarshim ask, the pasuk didn't only speak about ribbis. The pasuk says, "Hoylech tamim ufoil tzedek v'daimver emes bovanoi leiraga l'shainai oisa ela layamit l'olam." So why are we saying that it's only dependent on ribbis? There are so many other things that are mentioned in that pasuk. So Taisus answers that the question of the Gemara is not about is it specifically ribbis or not. The question is that we see people who are good people and do what's right and still lose their money. And to that, Taisus answers that what the pasuk means is that people, we don't know what the ways of Hashem are and what he does. But this, ribbis, is worse than anything else. Another teretz that Taisus suggests is oisei eila doesn't mean all of these things. Oisei mi eila, one of these things. And what is the one thing that it means? The one thing it means is that it's referring to ribbis. The Marshal explains that what the Gemara means to say is that on one hand, ribbis is such a terrible avera, and on the other hand, somebody who's careful not to do ribbis is protected that he will never become permanently poor. Says the Gemara, the pasuk says in Chabakuk, Loma tabit boigdim, takrish kebala rosh at tzadik menu. The pasuk declares, why are you, Kadosh Baruch Hu, quiet as you see a tzadik, as a rosh overtakes the tzadik? Amarav Huna, to which Rav Huna explains, tzadik menu boileya. The rosh has the ability to take over a tzadik. Av a tzadik omer, somebody who's a full-fledged tzadik, such an individual, the halach is that einoi beileya, that tzaddik doesn't have. I saw a pshat that the Gemara means to say like this: there are two ways that a Kaddish Baruch Hu looks at us. One way of a Kaddish Baruch Hu looks at us is if we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. The other way a Kaddish Baruch Hu looks at us is he compares us to the Rishon and compares us to the Umas HaOlam. And what the Gemara means to say here is that a tzaddik, there are two types of tzaddikim. If you're a tzaddik on your own, not because you need to be compared to someone else, such a person, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu protects under all circumstances. If you're only a tzaddik, because you're compared to someone else, tzaddik mimenu, only because you're compared to someone else, that tzaddik doesn't have that same level of protection. Tanya Rabbi Yomer gets tzaddik amalinya mechira. The Torah says regarding a ger tzaddik, regarding selling an eved ivri, the ger toshev l'inyan ribis, and when we speak about a ger toshev as far as ribis, any day mahu, I don't know what that really means. And the Gemara explains itself. Ger tzaddik amalinya mechira, when we speak about a ger tzaddik linya mechira, the ksiv, the pasuk says, if a fellow Jew becomes poor and he sold to another Jew, says the Gemara, if a person has not ends up in such a place, he won't necessarily be sold to Yisrael el ger. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, v'chisas yad ger v'soishach imcha moch imach v'nimcha leger, that the person not only is sold, but he's sold to a ger. V'loy leger tzedek, as we discussed in our previous year, there are two types of a ger. There's a ger tzedek, a convert, and there's a ger toshev, which is really an individual who's not Jewish, only accepted not to do avodah zara, accepted the zayin mitzvah b'nei noach. Shneim leger toshev, mishkaches ger. Then pasuk continues to say zeh nochri, that if the person doesn't do tshuva, first he'll be sold to ger tzedek. If he doesn't do tshuva, he'll be sold to ger toshev. And he still doesn't do tshuva, he'll be sold to a nochri. Shoyma oyla aker mishpachas ger. He will be ultimately rachmon tzlon sold lavodis kacham atzma to work at avodah zara. What the rishonim say means, of course, it doesn't mean that he's going to worship avodah zara. That's never permitted. What it means is he's going to have a job at an avodah zara. Omamar. That the person who doesn't act appropriately and is punished is ultimately going to be sold to a ger. Says the Gemara, Lememra. So according to this, it seems, the ger, Kani Eved Ivri, that a ger is allowed to own an Eved Ivri. Ask the Gemara, Veramini, but have we not learned in a Braisa that an a ger nikna b'Eved Ivri, that a ger cannot be sold as an Eved Ivri, then Isha v'ger coin an Eved Ivri, nor may a Isha or a ger buy an Eved Ivri. So here we see that a ger can't become an Eved Ivri, nor may a woman or a ger own an Eved Ivri. Says the Gemara, how do we know this? Ger loy nikra b'Eved Ivri, because the Torah says that at the end of the term, the Torah speaks about an Eved Ivri that was sold to a Jew, v'shav el mishpachta, he should go back to his family, be'inan, v'aleka, because since we know, the gershon is gayer to katan shenoy ledami, so he doesn't really have any relatives. And even though, explains the Michas Chinuch, he will have relatives. After he became a ger, he got married and had children. So why do we say he has no family? Because he explains there's a difference between a ger and everyone else. A ger will get married, and yes, now he, Baruch Hashem, has a family, but it doesn't mean that he can't lose those children. And if he loses those children, he's back to not having any family. Whereas a born Jew, he will always have some relative, even a distant relative, they'll have relatives. So that's why a ger could be an individual that will never, that will not have the opportunity of a shabal mishpachtei. Then isha ger koiner eved ivri, the la isha de la v'ara, it's not appropriate for a woman to own a ger, for a woman to own eved ivri. They may come to be alone. The ger nami de gevri, the mikni kani, we have halacha, somebody who could become an eved ivri may own an eved ivri, the loy mikni, but somebody who he himself cannot become an eved ivri, as we just said, a ger can't become an eved ivri, loy kani may not own an eved ivri. There's interesting machloikus achroinim, when we're saying that a woman may not own an eved ivri, is that also apply to having a Jewish worker? Most achroinim are of the opinion they can't own an eved ivri. That's a whole different relationship, and therefore that would be permissible. That's what the Taz says. The Bach, however, disagrees, and the Bach says that even though there is no eved ivri b'zman hazeh, there's no slavery b'zman hazeh, but still a woman having a full time Jewish worker is also inappropriate. But the Bach says that even according to the Bach, who has the strict opinion, the Bach does say that the halacha will be that a woman could own a shifcha, an amavriya. It's only a male that's an issue, not a female is obviously not an issue. Aram Nachman by Yitzchak, what the Brisa says, that a ger cannot own an Eved Ivri, what it means, ain't a kind of a dinik Yisrael. What it means is that his ownership of an Eved Ivri is not the same as when another Jew owns an Eved Ivri. That, because the halach is, that if a Jew owns an Eved Ivri, and then that person, Rahman Slam, passes away, that Eved Ivri gets passed on to the children of that owner. That wouldn't be by a ger. Avod that a Nachri could buy an Eved Ivri, but the halach is that when a Nachri buys an Eved Ivri, if the Nachri passes away, that Eved is not passed on to his children. The Tanya, Hanirtza, the Anirtza, we know an Eved Ivri's term is 6 years, but as the Torah teaches us in Parshas Mishpatim, if the Eved Ivri says, Ahafti Adoni Yisishti, La'etzi Chavshi, I want to stay longer, the Torah says, V'rotza Adonav, as Ozma Matzeyu, we take him to the door and they make a hole in his ear. Vavodai, and he says, Eved till Yovel. The halach is Hanirtza, an Eved Ivri that's Eved Ivri Nirtza, or a Nimchel Nokri, or an Eved Ivri that was sold to a Nokri. There the halach is Ein Ovel Leyes Aben, Veloyes Abbas. And now we're learning that the same halacha will be that if he's working for Ger Tzedek, it doesn't go further. Amar ve'ein ish of a ger, koinet eved ivri. Neima, so says the Gemara, our Mishnah, this brisa seems to be contradictory to what Rav Shimon Gamliel said. The Tanya ish of koinet eshvachis, ve'ein a koinet avodim. A woman could own a shivcha, but not an avod eved, because of the concern of what people will say. Shimon Gamliel, ma'ima af koinet avodim. So we see that a woman is allowed to own eved ivri. Answers the Gemara, fuel tamer Shimon Gamliel. V'loi kasha. The brisa that says that a woman may not own the Eved is talking about Eved Ivri. But an Eved Kanani, she may own. Ask the Gemara, so the Gemara explains why. Eved Ivri tzniyale, Eved Kanani partzla. Which means that Eved Ivri, if he's going to do something inappropriate with his owner, this woman, he's not going to publicize it. So the woman is not concerned about doing something wrong. The reason she's not concerned about doing something wrong is because she knows that she won't be exposed. Whereas by an Eved Kanani, if he does something inappropriate, he has no problem publicizing it. And because he has no problem publicizing it, the woman will be careful not to do this with this person, because she wants to protect her reputation. Ella asked the Gemara if the woman is concerned that it shouldn't be exposed. That's why we're not concerned. Hadatani Reb Yosef Amata, an almana loytar bekalba, should not raise a dog, loytishrei rab bishbiza, nor should she host a yeshiva student in her home. Bishlam and Babi Rav. So we understand why she shouldn't host this yeshiva student, because if they're going to do something inappropriate, tzila, they're both going to keep it quiet. Ella kalba, when we speak about a dog, kivin the kamesipa, if she does something inappropriate with the dog is going to become attached to her. So why shouldn't that be mercisa? Why shouldn't that be considered a deterrent and she should be allowed to have a dog? Answers the Gemara Amri, kivin the kishajalei umtsa, when she throws some meat at the dog, Mafrich Basra, the dog follows her. So if people see the dog following her, they're not going to assume that the dog is following her because she did something wrong. They're going to assume that the dog is following her because Amri Inchi, people are going to say that the dog is following her because of the pieces of meat, and therefore that she throws at him. And that's why she's not going to do it. So the Rambam and the Ravid have a machloikis regarding this halacha. Says, when the Gemara says that a woman should not have a barber, a rav, live by him, that's only on a permanent basis. but on a temporary basis, it would be mutter. The Rambam says that, the Ravid, however, says that it means not about living. Living, they can live together. What it refers to in our Gemara is serving him food, because that's what brings that level of familiarity between the woman and the Barbei Rav. Says the Gemara, Ger Toshev Omen Yelin Rabbis. The Gemara before said that when the Torah spoke about a Ger Toshev regarding Ribbis, we don't know what it meant. Says the Gemara, what is meant with that statement? The Ksiv. The Pasuk says, V'chiyom achichu mata yodi imach, V'gzak deboi, Ger V'toshev V'chei imach, Atikach mita neshev V'tarbis, V'yresu melekecha V'chei achichu imach. For many, so if you see from the Pasuk, that the Pasuk is speaking about the Isser of Ribbis, speaking about both to your achicha and a ger toshev. For many, but we just learned in the Mishnah in our previous year, love mehem or malvin oisam, but Ribbis became a ger toshev. So how do we reconcile that? From one hand, we learned in the Mishnah that one could do an interest-bearing transaction with a ger toshev, and here it says we can't. And says the Gemara, Omer of Nachman by Yitzchok, let's study the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Miksiv atikach mi'itam. If the Torah would have used the word mi'itam, indeed, that would indicate both a regular Yisrael and a Ger Toshev. Mitachsiv. The Torah says, atikach mi'itoi neshech mitarbis. So we see from here that Yisrael, that it's only with Yisrael that it's also not with a Ger Toshev. Says the Gemara, Altikach mitoi neshech v'tarbis. Tana Rabbanan, the Pasuk says, Altikach mitoi neshech v'tarbis. Avalata nasloi orev. You'll have to be a guarantor and a loan that involves ribbis. Ask the Gemara, orev leman. What does it mean that you're a guarantor that's permissible? Ilem orev l'Yisrael, that you're allowed to be a guarantor when one Jew borrowed money from another Jew with ribbis. For Tana, we're going to learn a Mishnah on Daf Ayin Hey Amabez. Eilo Ivan Belay Sase, Hamalva, Valoiva Varava Edim. All of the parties involved in the loan, the Malva, the Loiva, and the guarantor and the Edim, are all included in the Isser of Loisa Simarlov Neshech. Says the Gemara, Ella, what it meant is that you'll have to be a guarantor to loan with Ribbis Lenochri. When a Jew and a guy are involved in the transaction. Says the Gemara, but Kivin the Dina the Nochri, since in non-Jewish rule, Osa Baras Arva, and a word of introduction is required, there are really three types of Orif. There's an Orif which is a regular guarantor. The regular guarantor in Jewish law is you go only after the guarantor if the person, the loiva, doesn't have the ability to pay. An Orev Kablan is a case where you have a right to choose if you're going to go after the Kablan, if you're going to go after the guarantor, or you're going to go after the loven, or after the loiva. And then there's an Orev called an Orev Sholoif Dots, where you go specifically after the guarantor. But ask the Gemara, Kivin the Dina the Nachri, in secular law, the Basel, also Basel Arva, you go after the Orev. You don't go after the Loiva, even if the Loiva has the ability to pay. You go after the Orev, and now the Orev goes after the Loiva. You need the Koshokim and Erebisa. So if the Nachri collected from the Orev Ribbis, which is permissible because he's a Nachri, and now the Yisrael, the Orev, goes back to the Loiva and wants the Ribbis that he paid, so he's collecting ribbis, one Jew from another Jew. Says the Gemara, Amrav Sheshes, the case that this price is referring to is Kibalov Lodin Medina Yisrael. The Nachri accepted to follow Jewish law, and he won't go after the Orev if the Loiva has the ability to pay. Says the Gemara, Ish Kibalov Lodin Medina Yisrael, if we're referring to, asked the Gemara, to such a Nachri who accepted to follow Jewish law, if he accepted to follow Jewish law, so Jewish law says that you're not allowed to take ribbis. If that's the case, ribbis tamid lo lishkol, so he shouldn't be allowed to take ribbis at all. answers the Gemara, Ka'amar Rav Sheshes, it's referring to a situation, Shekivalov Lazu, he accepted the halacha of not going to the Ara first, of going to the Laiva first, but he did not accept halacha, V'lekivalov Lazu, he did not accept halacha of not taking ribbis. We learned in the Mishnah, Malvi Yisrael Ma'isav Shonachri, Bidasa Nachri. The Mishnah said a Jew may lend non-Jews money with ribbis with the consent of the Nachri. And the Braisa elaborates on this halacha. Tan Rabbanan, Malvi Yisrael Ma'isav Shonachri. One Jew may lend the money that belongs to a Nachri with ribbis, Midasa Nachri, Avaloi Ladas. Avaloi midas Yisrael. What does that mean? Ketzad explains the Braisa. Yisrael shlovim moros min anachri. A Jew borrowed money from anachri beribis, which, as we're learning, is permissible. You're allowed to borrow money from anachri with ribis. Bikesh lachzirim loy. And now, he wants to pay back the money that he owes to the anachri. And as all the mafarshim point out, he's anxious to pay it back because as long as he doesn't pay back, he has these interest payments. So Bikesh Lachzir Malay, Mat Yisrael Achva Malay. And this loiva finds a Jew. And this Jew says, I'm in need of money. So give me the money, Tanayim Li, Kshani Al Lacha Kederach Shatam Al Loi. I'll repay you that money, and you'll give that money that I pay you back with the ribbis to the Nokri. That's awesome. That is certainly awesome, because one Jew is paying another Jew ribbis, which is certainly also. However, v'mimidai etzel nachri, if the Jew, the original loiva, goes to the another Jew, to the Jew that wants needs money, and says, now you are assuming the loan, so now this new loiva is paying directly to the nachri, that's mutter. Continues the braisa, v'chein nachri shalav amas misra beribis. A nachri borrowed money from Yisrael ribbis, which again we're learning is permissible. Ubikesh lachzirim loy, and the Nachri wants to, again, because he has these interest payments which he's looking to avoid, he wants to return the loan to the Yisrael. And Matz Yisrael Acher, and another Jew finds this Nachri, and this Jew needs money, and he tells the Nachri, Amr loy, he tells the Nachri to name Lee, Vani Erloch, and I'll pay you back. Just like you pay the Jew, I'll pay you. That's mutter. Because the Jew is paying a Nachri ribbis, and a Jew may pay a Nachri ribbis. However, v'midi etz Yisrael, but if the Nachri brings this new loiva, the Jew, to his malva, who's a Jew, that will be aser. Because ein shlichus l'Nachri, and the Jew is borrowing money directly from the Jew now. Says the Gemara, Bishlam Seifa, in the case where if you took the malva and the new loiva that they're going to be working directly, so Bishlama, if the Nachri gave money to the new loiva who's a Jew with the consent and the involvement of the original malva who's a Jew, that even though ain't shlichus l'Nachri, but l'chumra, we say, yesh shlichus. And with Rabbana, we say there is shlichus, and we therefore, it's considered as if one Jew is lending another Jew money, beribis. El Aresha, in the first case, where we discussed that if the Jew gave money to another Jew based on the Nachri's direction, the Nachri is the malva, we're saying that it's mutter, that because the Jew is going to be paying the Nachri, kiven the ain't shlichus Nachri. A Jew cannot be a shlich for a Nachri. If a Jew cannot be a shlich for the Nachri, so in Noidukar Shokam in Erevisa, why does our local not view this as one Jew paying another Jew ribbis? Answers the Gemara, Omer of Huna bar Menoich, Mishmeder of Achbereder of Ika, Hachemai Eskinan, Kigoyin the Omele, the Nachri said to the Yisrael, Hanichem, Al-Gabakaka, the money you owe me, the money that you owe me, put on the ground, Vipata, and you're out of the picture. Now, the second Jew took the money off the ground, and now he knows the Jew and the guy, the first Jew and the guy, are finished. And now he's lending money from the guy. Ask the Gemara, says the Gemara, Yachmai Lememra. If a Jew borrowed money from a guy, and that loan is over, and now another Jew borrows money from a guy, what does the second loan have to do with the first loan? Why would it be a question that it should not be permissible? Answers the Gemara, El Amar Apapak Gagon Shinot V'Nosom B'Yad. The Nochri took the money, and therefore the first loiva did nothing wrong. Since there's Jewish involvement, so it's considered as if the Jew is lending money, Kamash Malan, that we're not concerned for this. But this entire Gemara is based on the concept of Ein Shlichus Nochri. Rav Ashi Amar, Ki Amrinen Ein Shlichus Nochri, where does the halacha say Ein Shlichus Nochri? Hani Mili Betruma. That's regarding Truma. The Torah says that we can have a Shliach take off Truma on our behalf. And the halacha is that the Shliach has to be, as we're going to learn, like us. And a Nochri can't therefore be a shliach to take off truma on our behalf. Abachal Tarikula, and all other areas of halacha, yesh shlichus b'nachri. And therefore, when a Yisrael gives money of a nachri to another Jew based on a nachri's direction, the Yisrael becomes the shliach of the nachri. The Yisrael becomes the shliach of the nachri, and therefore, since he becomes a shliach, it's not considered that it's a shlich, that it's from a Yisrael to Yisrael. It's considered from Nachri to Yisrael, and it's mutar. But says the Gemara, v'ha deram Ashi Berusi, what Rav Ashi just said is incorrect. And I saw the Gemara often, when it wants to indicate that somebody said something, it's incorrect, uses the word Berusa. Berusa means it should be ignored, it should be taken out. They didn't want to be that sharp and saying that it's wrong, so they use the word berusa. Why? Because my shna truma deloy. Why by truma do we say there's no shlichus nachri d'ksiv? Because the pasuk by truma says kein terimu gam atem trumas Hashem. The pasuk says atem, and the pasuk says gam atem. Ma at to teach us. From there we learn the ma atem neighbors. The Torah is speaking to the Jews who have to take off truma. From here we learn. Af shluchachem nami b'nei bris. A shliach also has to be a Jew. Says the Gemara b'shlichus, the kol ha'Torah kula. We often, as we learn Shas, speak about shlichus. And says the Gemara, where is the concept of shlichus learned from? That a shliach is effective? Mitruma gamrinala. We learn it from truma. Says the Gemara, if by truma there's halacha of ein shlichus l'nachri, then the halacha is that the same will apply in all halacha, since all areas of shlichus are learned from there, and ein shlichus nachri, and therefore says the Gemara, the Rav Ashi Berusahi. So I saw that the Sefer Imre Yehuda explains that why is there only a concept of shlichus by Yisrael, and there is no shlichus by a nachri? Explains the Imre Yehuda. The pasuk says, as Klal Yisrael arrived to Mitzrayim, Shivim Nefesh. So that's a difficult pasuk. It should have said Shivim Nefashos. The answer is that even though, of course, each one of us in Klal Yisrael is an individual, even though each one of us is an individual, we're all essentially connected. That's why it says Nefesh. So since we're all essentially connected, that's why Shlichus, we're so connected, one can be a shliach for the other. But by the Akum, they don't have that level of unity, of achdus, of connecting one to each other, and therefore ain't shlichus sonachri. Ikadami Amar of Ashi, ki amrin ain't shlichus sonachri, hanimil inu l'dedon. They can't be our shlichim. Avanan l'dedhu, but havel shlich. We can be a shliach on their behalf. It says the Gemara, the hadar of Ashi, what Rav Ashi just said, that Berusahi, as we explained earlier, it's a nice way of saying it's incorrect. Mashna inu l'didon loy, why can they not be shlichim on our behalf? Diksiv, atem gam atem, l'rabbi shluchachem. And we just finished explaining Well, we just finished explaining that ma'atem b'nei bris, ashluchachem b'nei bris. And ana ledu nami. So it doesn't make a difference in which direction. Ma'atem b'nei bris kamar, a shliach, a nachri can't be a shliach. Ravina ma, ne'ed a shlichus the nachri leslei. Even though a nachri cannot be a shliach, z'chiyim ad'rabbanan leslei. That means that we could take ownership on behalf of a nachri. And here too, the Yisrael could take ownership of the money, the second life, on behalf of the nachri. Says the Gemara, where do we have such a precedent? Midav a cotton. Cotton, afkav de les l'shlichus, a cotton cannot be a shliach, islay z'chiyah medrabonin, that somebody could take ownership in something on behalf of a cotton. Hachinami, so too loishna. But says the Gemara, that also is actually incorrect. V'loyi. Yisrael also l'chalal shlichus, a cotton, even though currently he's a cotton, he will become a gadol. And therefore, even though, because he's now a cotton, he can't be a shliach, but he can become a gadol, so he could do zechia. But a oivik achavim, which lo also l'chalal shlichus, he'll never be able to be a shliach, he can't do zechias either. So, the Sefer, the Shaz HaTshuvas, Panami Iris asks that the Gemara Masechta Nedarim says that Hani, a question that in Laman Hayom Beis, Hani Kahani, these Kahanim, Shluch the Don or Shluch the Shemaya, are they the Shlichim of us or the Shlichim of HaKadosh Baruch as they do the Avodah? So he asks, the Gemara Masechta Chulin says, that Yud Gimel Mebeis, that a Nachri could donate a carbon. But if the Kohen is a shliach of the person who's bringing the carbon, and we're learning in our sugya, that ain't shlichus l'nachri, so how could a Kohen bring a carbon on behalf of a Nachri if ain't shlichus l'nachri? So the Sefer Mikar Baruch answers, that when does the, even if we'll say, Kahanim Shlich Dedon, when does the Kohen have to act as a Shliach? That's when I am bringing a carbon for Kapara. So I need somebody to help me achieve that Kapara. The Kohen Shlich Dedon, he helps me achieve that Kapara. But somebody who's not bringing a carbon for Kapara, the Kohen doesn't act as a Shliach. Who has to bring a carbon for a Kapara? A Yisrael. Yisrael has to bring a carbon for Kapara because he did an Aveira. But Nachrim, even if they bring Kabonis, they don't bring Kabonis for Kapara. And since they don't bring Kabonis for Kapara, therefore there's no need for the coin to be his Shliach. The Medrash says that when Noach left the Teva, Dari bit him. And that's why Noach was not the person that brought the Kabonis. After the Mabel, his son Shem brought the Kabbonis because he was a Balmum. But the question is, on that Medrash, the Pasuk explicitly says that V'yiven Noach as HaMizbeach V'yal Oilus Mizbeach. So we see clearly that Noach did bring Kabbonis. How do we see that? How can the Medrash say that Noach didn't bring Kabbonis? We must be that Noach appointed Shem to be his shliach. But now we have a question that ain't shlichus l'akum, that we can't have an akum do be a shliach. So the question now is, how could have Noach asked his son to be his shliach if akum ain't shlichus l'akum? So he saw an interesting teretz. It's a machna frayim. The Machna Ephraim says that the simple teretz obviously is that this was before Klal Yisrael became Klal Yisrael. He says, but they saw that the Machna Ephraim says that a Nochri cannot be a Shliach on behalf of Yisrael, or Yisrael cannot be a Shliach on behalf of a Nochri. But one Nochri could be a Shliach on behalf of another Nochri. And that's what happened here. Both Shem and Noach were considered Nachrim. Since both Shem and Noach were considered Nachrim, that's why the Nochri is considered, that's why the Nochri is, that's why Shlaim was allowed to bring it. Another pshat is that I saw that since the pasuk means that Noach began, Noach did the building of the Mizbeach, and therefore even though he didn't do the actual Hakrova, the halacha is that it's still considered that that Noach brought the carbon. But then I saw that we're learning now that ain shlichus l'nochri, that if we ask a guy to do something on our behalf, it's not considered shlichus. But our Gemara said l'chumra, it is considered shlichus. So I saw that we know in Shabbos there's a halacha of a shvus, but are we allowed to ask a nochri to do something on our behalf? And we know that asking a nochri to do malacha on our behalf in Shabbos is only considered a shvus. It's only considered issur d'rabbanan. It's not considered an issur d'oraisa. But the question is, if our Gemara just taught us that we treat shlichus by a nochri l'chumra as shlichus, so why should it not be considered that when I ask the nochri to do work on my behalf in Shabbos, l'chumra, it should be considered as if I did malacha on Shabbos? So the Sefer Beis Meir says a beautiful pshat. He says, yes, our Gemara is teaching us that l'chumra, there is shlichus l'nochri. But in Shabbos, what is the point of Shabbos? The point of Shabbos is l'man yenuach, that we shouldn't do any malacha on Shabbos. Says the Beis Meir, when a nochri does malacha on my behalf, am I still b'menucha? Am I still not doing malacha? Absolutely, I'm not doing malacha, because I didn't do anything, the nochri did it. So even if we'll say b'kol ha'tayrah kula, yesh shlichus l'nochri l'chumra, that a nochri is considered a shliach of mine when it involves a chumra, Shabbos works with a very different type of concept. All that we're looking for in Shabbos is that the Jew should be b'menucha. And if the Jew is not doing the malacha, then he's b'menucha, and therefore, even if yesh shlichus l'chumra by a nochri, that wouldn't be applicable to Shabbos.